Welcome to the Love-O Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose love has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Shivananda. Shivananda took sannyas in 1978 and is a graphic designer, painter and a musician. Shivananda loves playing the guitar and facilitates painting and singing workshops. I'm so happy to have Shivananda on the show and I hope you enjoy it. Shivananda, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yes, hello Swaram. Nice to meet you in this way.
Excellent. So to start, tell us a little bit about how you came across Osho.
Looking back at how I met Osho, I felt I was led to it. I felt that the events which happened, they were leading me. I was in Goa, and at this point in my life, I was not knowing what to do, where to go. I had been traveling for 10 years before. I was 30 years old. I had some money. I had my guitar. I had friends. I had a beautiful place by the beach. But there was something missing in my life. There was an emptiness. I think this was the point where I was ready. Even so, I didn't know. So I felt helplessness. And the only thing which I was really interested at this point was I went to fly my kite. I loved to fly kites. I was building them myself. And when I was flying the kite one morning, I was sitting under a tree. The kite was flying in the air. I was tying the kite to the tree. And this inner voice came, which said, if this kite escapes, it is a sign for you to leave Goa. I went like, huh? What was this? And shortly after this, I felt asleep. And I woke up and the kite was gone. And it was very clear to me at that moment that I have to leave. So I went back to my house, packed everything, said goodbye to my friends, went to the road and took a bus to Panjim, not knowing where to go. Meeting a friend, meeting a traveler there, which I didn't know who it was, asking him where he's going. He said he's going to Hampi, and immediately had the feeling, yes, that's the right place to go. I jumped with him on the bus. I went to Hampi. And in Hampi, again, it happened that I was sitting around the fire with some friends, and the Chilong was passing. And when the Chilong came to me, I said to the person next to me, no, thank you. I will never touch a Chilong again. A Chilong is smoking marijuana in a pipe. And again, I was surprised. Wow, from where does this voice come from? Why do I say this? And the voice came again and said, go home. Go to your sleeping place and wake up in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, you take the train. So I went again like, huh, what's this? But I followed the voice. I went to the train station. A train came. I didn't. At this point in India, you could just jump on any train and buy tickets on the train. So I was on this train and I found out the train was going to Bombay. So I was just there. It took many hours. I think it took about like 6 or 7 hours. I was sleeping sometimes. And at one point, I was waking up at the station and looking out the window, and I saw the name Pune. And immediately I knew, aha, this is the place where I have met these crazy people in Goa, the sannyasin. So I jumped out of the train. There was a rickshaw saying, the rickshaw driver was saying, ashram, ashram. And so there I was in the ashram in Pune.
Okay, now I see what you mean with I was led to Osho.
Yes, it was not on a decision on myself. It was really the events which happened. Huh?
Before we go to the main topics of today's episodes, I'd like to start by talking about being authentic and uncompromisingly with Osho, because I know many people that even today are somehow reluctant to openly mention the name Osho or to reveal their association with Osho. Whereas I understand that you had the courage to be a sannyasin at a time when society was much more conservative than today, in the 70s and 80s, to go around Switzerland, which is your homeland, in full orange clothing with a mala hanging out on your neck was quite a statement. So I'd love to hear your experience on being with Osho, who is certainly a controversial master, even today, especially after the release of Wild Wild Country, but being with Osho in an authentic, open and uncompromising way.
Yeah, there's when I first time went to the so-called West from India in orange clothes and the mala, there was a moment of fear meeting the society in such a way. I soon noticed in Switzerland the Swiss have a way of ignoring what they don't like. If something is strange, they ignore it. So I felt they didn't put any focus on me, you know. I was in a train and I was like not existing. in the street also, people would not stare at me. It's not the Swiss way. They would just ignore me. Another thing which I noticed was to live in such a way was like a filter. The people who were drawn to me, who were like friendly to me, they were the real friends. And the ones who rejected me in some way, these were also the people I was not interested in. And this I found out until today, when I openly put myself out as being a sannyasin and just say my name, Shivananda. Yes, it is always clear that some people, they are drawn to me because of this, and some people, they ignore me. And I found out that it's the right people who stay away from me, and it's the right people who stay with me. So it's been a tremendous helpful filter.
Yes, and I have to say it's the same with me. I mean, like, all my closest friends are sannyasins, so people who love Osho in some way. Okay, so by profession, you are a graphic designer, and I understand that you have worked a long time as a graphic designer during your time with Osho in the communes, both in India and also in the USA, in Oregon. So, first of all, what kind of jobs did you do at the time as graphic designer?
Well, as a graphic designer, the job was mostly designing the Osho's books. Huh? And the way this went was there was a book to be done, and you received it, and also you received already at this point the instructions which had Osho had given. Like he would had already chosen the photograph for the title, and also sometimes he would say, "I want my name big in gold embossed letters." And sometimes he would give specific instructions about the typeface. So from the very beginning, he was involved in the book. And so the first thing you did was you make a layout from the inside pages. Like you make about 12 pages the way you want to lay out the inside. And then it went inside to Osho. The secretary, like Anando or Lakshmi, whoever, was bringing it to Osho, and he looked at it and it came back. And that was always an interesting communication. I have been working many times before in the West as a graphic designer, and you always have an art director. So basically, Osho was my art director. What I noticed is that with the art director in the West, he would say something and you would agree or not agree, and there was always kind of a struggle. With Osho, it was never like this. He always went one step further. Whenever he wanted to have something changed, he went like one step further. So I never felt with him criticized, or I felt like I never felt I had done something wrong. Yeah, he would do changes, but he would do them in such a way that it was always like one step further. To give an example, was there was a dentist called Brenta, and one day when he was doing some. No, he was not dentist. Sorry, he was an eye doctor, the eye doctor. And one day he was with Osho, and Osho said to him, "I would like to have a photo book." And he was kind of, you know, he was an eye doctor. He had no experience. So he went to his friend, Atit, who was also my friend, and said, "You have to help me. You are a designer. Let's do a photo book together." And Atit, being a very good friend of mine, he said, "Yes, I do it, but I want also Shivananda in it." So then we all agreed we do it together. And this was a big project. It was the first time such a project was happening. And it took a long time, months, to choose all the slides. And then we had to do prints and do the layout. So it was a big project. Finally, when we did the layout, it went inside Osho. Brenda brought it to Osho. He looked at it and he said, "Nice." And then he looked at him and he says, "Let's do three photo books." And he chose, at this point, there was Anando and Neelam and Amyo in the room with him. And he says, "Yeah, one photo book Neelam is doing, and one photo book Amyo is doing, and one Anando is doing." And the one Anando was going to do was Osho. At this time it was Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, a man of many, and I forgot the time, a man of many rainbows, something like this. And this is the only book which came out finally. And he gave two other books to Neelam and Amyo. They never happened. One was called The Language of the Eyes, and one was called The Language of the Hands.
Okay, so first of all, I want to commend you, because I've always loved Osho's books, not just in terms of the content of what Osho says, but the graphic and the titles, especially the old editions, they're beautiful. First time I went to Pune, I came back with a bag full of books, and the airport had to pay overcharge because it was, you know, very heavy, and I couldn't help just buying all those beautiful books. And so it's great that you are actually the guy who contributed, and you were doing that. I didn't know at all. And it's also very interesting for me to hear how Osho was directly involved in that. So that he was guiding and giving specific direction on, you know, how he wants his name to be designed. So moving on a little bit, I think that in your rich and colorful life, you moved well beyond the graphic design form of art and developed in a more broader way. And in fact, you also love painting and playing the guitar and singing. So how living with an enlightened master like Osho has influenced your artistic development?
Yeah, for me, there was a point when Osho started to choose for the end paper. The end paper is the piece of paper which connects the cover with the book block. Now, the end paper was also used to do his art. All the art you see with his signature, he did on that page. Yeah, and he loved to use a certain kind of felt pen, which I knew as a graphic designer. I was using this kind of felt pen. They were from Italy, and they, when you put them on the paper, they would run. The ink was easily running. And Osho loved that effect. I could just see him putting the pen down and just waiting and to see what is happening. And you see on these paintings from Osho, which he did on this end paper, that they were created in this way. Now, these layout pens, they were called layout pens. The company must have gotten complaints from customers. and they had they improved, so they were not running so much anymore. And so when Osho received a new supply from these pens and they were not running anymore, from this point he stopped painting. He stopped using them. And then there was Mira, the painter, and Osho started to choose paintings from Mira to go on the book covers. And then at one point, the idea came up to put them also on the end paper. And so as a graphic designer, I saw that happening. And then one day, I still remember this was a very important day. One day I did a book and also had chosen two paintings from a painter from South America. And I went like, wow, Osho had chosen these kind of paintings. They look like mine. And I was thinking, wow, that's amazing that he likes this kind of painting. It was an abstract painting. And then the next book, which came again, had some abstract painting from another painter. And that really fascinated me. At this point, I was painting, and also I went back to the West to make some money. And before I went back to the West, I had this idea. I don't know, it was not like an idea, it was like an inner call. It was like, I would love to show Osho some of my paintings. I had quite many, so I chose 30 paintings, and I went to Anando, and I said to Anando, I would love to show Osho some paintings. And she said, let's see them. And she looked at them, and she says, oh, great, he would love them. I bring them to him right now. So she went inside. I was waiting outside, and after about half an hour, she came back, and she said, oh, he just loved the paintings. And he chose 29 paintings for the books. Now, this for me was mind-blowing. I never expected he would do that. And it for me, this was like an initiation. It was like my initiation as a painter. And what the interesting thing was is he didn't choose one painting. Anando said, this painting he didn't choose. And he pointed at this point, and she showed me on the painting, and said, no, not this one. This looks like a skull. And I went like, huh? And she said, I don't see a skull. Do you see a skull? I was kind of shocked, you know. Osho sees a skull in my painting. And actually, I was so shocked that I went home and I painted over. only later on, I got the message, at least how I interpreted the message. The way I did many of these paintings was from a time when I was, my girlfriend separated from me, and I was in a low state. I was feeling so sad and I was feeling terrible. And when I was feeling in this state, this an inner voice came and said, Shivananda, paint, Shivananda, paint. And I, for 3 weeks, I did non-stop painting. I was just crying and painting and sleeping, eating, painting, nothing else. And, many of these paintings I was also sending to Osho, because what came out of this time was like a transformation in my the way I was painting. So for me, the message from Osho was like, go with life, don't go with death.
At the end of Pune 2, you joined the Creative Arts Department. I'd love to hear what was about the Creative Arts Department.
In Pune 1, there was the Creative Arts Department, and there was Mira there and Kittam, and I also joined, and there I became really good friends with Mira. And in it was a time of explosion of creativity. There was creativity happening everywhere: pottery, wood sculpture, weaving, painting. So, yeah, I was really enjoying being part of it. At the same time, I was also working in the silk screen department. So, yeah, and in Pune too, there was also a painting department, and I love to go and paint there. And at one point, I just became the coordinator, and it was something just natural to me to, because I have such a passion for painting, and it never feels like I have to do it, or it never feels like work. It always feels like play, and it's something which is a meditation for me. I enter a painting and I disappear, basically. I mean, I look at the painting, I cannot really believe that I have done it. I'm always surprised myself also.
I understand that currently you also facilitate workshops on painting and singing. So if you can talk us through your current activity.
Yeah, the basis is that I believe, or I know actually, that everyone can paint. I have done this now for, I don't know how many years, maybe 30 years. So, and I have never met a person where I felt that person cannot paint. Because as a child, we all know how to paint. It's before we have judgment of good or bad. We just love to play. We just love to express ourselves. And this is just something which I want to bring out in people. So in my courses, I usually will bring people back into the state where they just are a child, where they can just experience the joy of painting. It's this joy where you just forget time, and you forget where you are, and you forget that you're hungry, you don't even want to go to the toilet. You're just totally involved and immersed. And since this is a natural state with me, I feel that I'm kind of infect people. I can turn them on to feel the same passion. And I know many people, once they have discovered that, they use that later on in their lives. And so I am very grateful that I can share this passion.
I'm sure the people who come to your workshops, they can feel your passion. We are heading towards the end of the show, and I've got three final questions for you. The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
One thing which I always tried to achieve, and I think I have achieved it right now, is not to have a routine. Not to have a morning routine, not to have an afternoon routine, not to have a routine at all. Because my fear, when I wake up in the morning and I have the feeling, wow, yeah, today another day and another adventure, there is usually not, it's beyond the routine, because only out of this space I can follow my feeling, my. And sometimes I just want to go outside, and sometimes I just want to paint, for instance. This happens a lot also. Or sometimes I just want to write. Then I start writing, and in the beginning I start writing from my head, and then at one point it moves deeper. And usually when I write like this, in the end of the writing, I just feel the space of gratefulness, and I'm just so thankful to be alive.
Okay, so that's wonderful. Thank you so much for that. So the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
Well, you know, I've been involved with these 112 meditations, the 112 secrets, the Vigyan Vai of Tantra. And I was very fascinated by, for me anyway, this Vigyan Vai of Tantra is the best book in the world for me. If I could choose one book to take to an island, that's the book I would take. And in there is one meditation which is about playfulness, to be playful with everything you do in life. And for me, this is definitely one meditation. So whenever I feel the element of play in it, doesn't matter what it is, I can cook, I can clean, I can walk, I can have a shower, There's always so many different ways you can have a shower. You know, you can do it in a playful way, and then when you do it in a playful way, you become also more conscious. You can start singing, or you hold the shower handle in a different way, or there's so many ways to play with everything. This is one meditation. The other one is painting and also singing. And also, like, for instance, this morning I did one of the 21 days of mantra from Deva Pirmal and Miten. I love to do that, just to have a mantra and then have silence. This is so beautiful to me.
Yeah, that's very beautiful indeed. And in fact, I'm listening to the latest Deva Pirmal and Miten album for the past 2 weeks every day. It's beautiful in the morning. So the last question I have for you today is, you lead the Osho experiment. You were one of the pioneers in this movement of creating a new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2019?
Well, meeting Osho has changed my life. I cannot even imagine how my life would be without Osho. I cannot imagine. Osho is in my life every day. There's not one day where I don't reflect on him or there's something about him. Yeah. So basically, Osho is my life. Huh?
My goodness, that is so beautiful. And in fact, really resonates with me, because that's how I feel. There is not a single day where at some point I don't think or connect or feel Osho, and that's why I feel like in some way Osho is my life. So thank you. Okay, Shivananda, so that's the end of the show on this amazing notes, final notes of you not being separated from Osho in your life. We can end this episode. It's been a real pleasure connecting with you and getting to know more about you. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Sukaran.
So I send you lots of love and a big hug, and hope to perhaps meet you in person one day. Bye now.
Yeah, bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Love Osho Show podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit loveoshow.com for new episodes, blogs,
and much more.